RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana Fuss, the headlines. Minister Retno tells Canadian government to stay out of GIS case. University of Indonesia put in a list of 200 best campuses in Asia. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that Canadian government cannot interfere in the case of involving Nailed Bantleman, a Canadian teacher currently serving an 11-year prison term for sexually abusing kindergarten children at Jakarta Intercultural School. The decision was purportedly made at the joint meeting with Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti, and the head of Jakarta Prosecutor Office Sudung Situmorang. Minister Retno also told reporters at the Office of the Security Minister in Jakarta on Wednesday that the parties at the meeting collectively came to the conclusion that the Supreme Court decision in the case is legally binding and it must not be interfered with. University of Indonesia, OI, regains great achievement in international arena. Head of Public Relations of OI, Trivelli Dewi Astuti, through a press release on Tuesday stated to date the University of Indonesia includes in the 200 best campuses in Asia. Trivelli also affirmed that this means the University of Indonesia has been assessed by the Times Higher Education along with more than 200 universities in 22 countries in Asia. Meanwhile, UI Rector Muhammad Anis expressed his pride on the achievement of the University of Indonesia to represent Indonesia in the eyes of Asia and in the world through the Times Higher Education Rankings. Anis also emphasized that the University of Indonesia will keep improving the quality of education, research, and community service. Indonesian Health Minister Nila Djuwita Moeloeg as socialized medical emergency number for the travelers of Eid homecoming. The medical emergency number is intended for travelers who need the help of medical treatment quickly, especially for those who suffer a traffic accident. Minister Nila also said after visiting Terminal Tirtonadi and Solo Balapan Railway Station in Surakarta Central Japan Wednesday that to get this service, the travelers can call number 119, then the closest officers going to the travel site and immediately give the first aid. She also added that the medical emergency number service has been spread across 27 districts and cities. She hopes that the facility could reduce the number of casualties due to traffic accidents. Besides, she also pointed out that during Eid homecoming this year, the Minister of Health has prepared a number of health posts, especially along the homecoming floors in the North Coast area or Pantura. Professor of International University of Indonesia Hikmahanto Juwana assessed that the step taken by President Joko Widodo to directly visit Natuna Islands post incident of China's fishing boat on Indonesian sovereignty territory in Natuna is the right one. As quoted by Kompas on Tuesday, he said the incident that occurred in Natuna Riau Islands is not just simply a matter of national defense but also a matter of Indonesian sovereignty over natural resources on the island. Thus, Professor Hikmahanto appreciated the statement of President Joko Widodo is about to visit Natuna, aimed at developing the economic potential in the region. Professor Hikmahanto also affirmed that there is no territorial dispute between Indonesia and China in Natuna. The chairman of the advisory board of Indonesian Council of Ulamas, Muhyiddin Samsudin, stated in Jakarta on Wednesday that Muslims in Indonesia do not see any special treatment, but certainly they want a fair chance in the community life. He made a comment in the context of speech carried out recently on the orders of the city administration and by security police in Serang, in the province of Banten. He deplored the excessive action taken by the Satpol PP against a food stall that was found open during daytime in this fasting month of Ramadan. Din Samsudin also said he hoped that the closing of food stalls during the day in the month of Ramadan could be seen as part of local culture and ethics. Din reiterated that Muslims in the country had been very tolerant to other religions and referred to the example of Bali. He reminded that from the beginning exiled Islamic leaders had been very tolerant, a fair reflecting their wisdom and statement seat in fighting for Indonesian independence. The last item, sago product of Kepulauan Meranti Regency Riau Province, penetrates not only market of Java Island and Malaysia, but also other countries in East and West Asian countries. Riau Governor Arya Juliandi Rahman said in Pekanbaru on Tuesday that sago from Meranti Island is the best variety in the world, so it can be relied upon as a source of food for Indonesian people. In addition, he also said that Meranti sago can fulfill the need of national sago, and it is exported to other countries in West and East Asia. Governor Rahman hopes that potential of Meranti sago can get attention seriously from the central government. He further said Riau Regional government along with peat restoration agency targets to keep developing peat land, which will be restored so the land can be educational tourism center in the province. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Mediation Center for Investment about to be established soon. To date, Indonesia is seriously attracting investors to invest in Indonesia. Investments, especially from foreign investors, is an important factor in pushing the national economic growth. The government of Indonesia has also adjusted its economic policy packages. One of its targets is to improve the investment climate in Indonesia. Indeed, there are several points to be considered for investors to invest in a country. Take for examples they consider, such as interest rates, the national income per capita, the condition of infrastructure, bureaucratic licensing, security, quality of human resources, and political stability. If all of these are available, the foreign investors are more convinced to do business in Indonesia. To improve legal certainty in the ease of doing business and investment in Indonesia, the government plans to establish a mediation center for investment, an institution that is designed to handle the matter in case of dispute relating to investment with the legal certainty of Law No. 25/2007 on investment. In some countries, such a mediation center for investment has already been under operation, but Indonesia does not have it yet. Remembering there are a lot of foreign investors across Indonesia, the presence of a mediation center as in other countries is necessary. If the mediation center for investment is about to be established under the coordination of the Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, BKIPN, BKIPN can act as a third party to address any legal dispute, not through the government. So far, the mediation process on the investment has been directly carried out through the court. In the future, the Mediation Center for Investment will play a major role to mediate both completing parties prior to the court. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, BKIPN, Frankie Sibarani, feels that the existence of the Mediation Center is needed to resolve any problems or dispute faced by investors in a bid to protect the foreign investors. The establishment of this Investment Mediation Center can increase legal certainty for investors. The settlement of investment dispute will be stipulated in a government regulation draft which is being drafted. This is good for both domestic and foreign investors. The phase of any dispute is through resolution and deliberation within a certain period. Furthermore, it is through arbitration within or outside the country, depending on where the investor comes from. The last solution is through the courts. Based on the government regulation, the government will limit the formal material matters such as setting the time period of each state of the dispute.
the material regulation can be taken by each party instead of restricting the conflicting parties. The main point is that the mediation process does not need to be taken to the court. Hopefully, the establishment of the mediation center for investment is to be realized sooner to mediate the conflicting parties. In principle, the investment brings about impacts on the both community and the state. Through the investment activities, people can improve their economic activities and be able to obtain employment. As a positive result of the investment, a country's national income will increase. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for anyone on June 23rd, 1939, when France surrendered Alexandria to Turkey. On 23rd of June 1939, France surrendered the important seaport Alexandria, which became part of Syria territory at the time, to Turkey. In previous years, Alexandria's seaport was claimed by Turkey as part of its territory, but after World War I, in the agreement which was signed by England and France, this seaport was surrendered to Syria. However, with the collapse of Ottoman rule and Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, who was pro-Western and elected as Turkey's president, France, which became colonial authority at the time in Syria, handed over Alexandria seaport to Turkey. This event increased the resistance of Syrian people against France until its independence in 1949. The next event was in 1993 when Sir Andrew John Wiles successfully proved Fermat's last theorem at the Cambridge University in England. Sir Andrew John Wiles is a British mathematician and a Royal Society research professor at the University of Oxford, specialized in number theory. He is the most notable for proving Fermat's last theorem, for which he received the 2016 Nobel Prize. Wiles has received numerous other honors. Starting in mid-1986, based on successive progress of the previous few years of Gerhard Frey, Jan Peart Cert, and Ken Ribet, it became clear that Fermat's last theorem could be proven as a corollary of a limited form of the Molitori theorem, proven at the time and then known as the Taniyama-Shimura-Weyl conjecture. The Molitori theorem involved elliptic curves, which was also Weyl's own specialist area. The conjecture was seen by contemporary mathematicians as important, but extraordinarily difficult or perhaps impossible to prove. For example, Wiles' ex-superior John Coates stated that it seems impossible to actually prove, and Ken Ribet considered himself one of the vast majority of people who believe it was completely inaccessible, adding that Andrew Wiles was probably one of the few people on the earth who had audacity to dream that you can actually go and prove it. Despite this, Wiles, from his childhood fascination with Fermat's last theorem, decided to undertake the challenge of proving the conjecture, at least to the extent needed for the Frey's curve. He dedicated all of his research time to this problem for over 6 years in near total secrecy. Kaprinen is supposed by releasing prior quote in a small segment as separated papers and confiding only in his wife. In June 1993, he presented his proof to the public for the first time at the conference in Cambridge. And the last event was in 2007 when Professor Dr. Yudi, former Indonesian Health Minister, passed away. Professor Dr. Yudi, who was former Minister of Health of Indonesia for the period of 1993 to 1998, and former Rector of University of Indonesia, passed away on June 23, 2007 due to a heart attack. He was a Professor Emeritus of Microbiology, Faculty of Medicine, University of Indonesia. Until the end of his life, Professor Hudi remained active in the Indonesian Japan Pansy Association, Chairman of Blood Transfusion and the Indonesian Red Cross Hospital, and the Chief Commissioner of a number of companies in the field of health. During his service, Professor Hudi received various awards, including Mahaputra Adi Pradana Star from the Government of Indonesia. In addition, he also received awards from the governments of Japan, France, Uzbekistan, Austria, and the Netherlands. Professor Hudi was also the originator of Ideas and Ideals of University of Indonesia becoming a world-class research university. Listener, that was Today in History, presented by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listener, this is Erori World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is Bandung sell products to ASEAN markets. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Bandung administration is now focusing on marketing its creative economic products in ASEAN markets. One of the ASEAN countries is Malaysia, through the development of specialty store called Little Bandung. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil said in Bandung on last Sunday that the government of Bandung establishes cooperation with Majelis Amanah Rakyat or MARA, an institute from Malaysia, to set up 200 stores that will be selling creative products of Bandung throughout Malaysia. He said that MARA has set aside 70 billion rupiah. Mayor Ridwan Kamil is optimistic that within 1 month, Little Bandung can be completed in some cities in Malaysia. Thus, he asks for the business people of the creative economy in Bandung to register their products at the service of industry, cooperatives, and micro, small, and medium businesses in Bandung. He also explained that later on, a lot of fashion products and unique culinary products at Bandung will be displayed at outlets managed by Malaysians. In order not to lose their identity, Mayor Ridwan Kamil insisted that the grocery stores are labeled with Little Bandung, which is about to be inaugurated before Idul Fitri festival. He said this means that Bandung City is well prepared to face ASEAN Economic Community (AEC). Mayor Ridwan Kamil admitted being moved with the high public interest abroad of Bandung's local products. On the other hand, he also admitted being sad because the aggressiveness of Bandung entrepreneurs is still less compared with the neighboring countries. Mayor Ridwan Kamil also remarked that in addition to cooperating with MARA, he will cooperate with a restaurant that plans to open branches in several ASEAN countries. He added the restaurant that will sell Bandung product is already committed to providing a special room as galleries and soft. It will market tourism packages of Bandung and some creative products. He said that the restaurant will provide space to promote Bandung and its small medium businesses under the name of Bandung World. Besides Kuala Lumpur, the restaurant will also be open in Vietnam and other ASEAN countries. In addition, Bandung administration will also cooperate through memorandum of understanding with the restaurant. Listener, that ends Focus today. Thanks for listening.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that Canadian government cannot intervene in the case involving Neil Ventelman, a Canadian teacher currently serving an 11-year prison term for sexually abusing kindergarten children at Jakarta Intercultural School, GICS. University of Indonesia, UI, regains a great achievement in international arena. Head of the population of UI, Rivelli Dewi Astuti, through a press release on Tuesday stated, to date, the University of Indonesia includes in the 200 best campuses in Asia. Indonesian Health Minister Nila Juwita Mulug has socialized medical emergency number for the travelers of 8 homecoming. The medical emergency number is intended for travelers who need the help of medical treatment quickly, especially for those who suffer a traffic accident. Minister Nila also said that after visiting Terminal Tirtonadi and Solo Balapan Railway Station in Surakarta Central Java on Wednesday, that to get the service, the trappers can call number 119. Professor of International Law, University of Indonesia, Ikmahanto Juwana, assessed that the step taken by President Joko Widodo to directly fish Natuna Islands post-incident of China's fishing boat on Indonesian sovereignty territory in Natuna is the right one. The Chairman of Advisory Board of Indonesian Council Ulama, MUI, Din Samsudin, stated in Jakarta on Wednesday that Muslims in Indonesia do not see any special treatment, but certainly they want a fair chance in the community life. Sego product of Kepulauan Meranti Regency Riau Province penetrates not only market of Chap Island and Malaysia, but also other countries in East and West Asian countries. Riau Governor Arsha Juliandi Rahman said in Pekanbaru on Tuesday that Sego from Meranti Island is the best variety in the world. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 95.25 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to a religious visit to Bengkulu Province. Stay tuned. Listener, for those who wants to take religious trip to Bengkulu Province, do not forget to visit the Al-Ikhlas Mosque, the oldest mosque in Bengkulu Province. The mosque was built in 1800 by Mansur from West Sumatra. Because it is the oldest mosque, Al-Ikhlas Mosque was also used as a cultural heritage by Bengkulu Regional Government. The mosque is located in the Padang Batua village, Central Bengkulu Regency. Listeners, since the year 1800, Bengkulu was hit by an earthquake several times, but surprisingly, the Al-Ikhlas Mosque remains strongly stand up. The building of the mosque is quite unique. The pillars of the mosque were made of wood arranged interlocking. The use of nails is not dominant, but rather using wooden pegs. Furthermore, the mosque walls are made of cement, but the inside of the wall was not filled with bricks but split of bamboo. The bamboo is firstly split and fragmented, which are used as a substitute for bricks. Then the bamboo rod covered with cement. This is the secret why the mosque always sturdy and was not damaged by the earthquake. Originally, the mosque named Al-Ikhlas Muhammadiyah Mosque because the teachings of Kiai Ahmad Dahlan, the founder of Muhammadiyah organization, was very strong influence in this village. According to the imam or teacher of the local village, the mosque is also the relic of the Sungai Limau Kingdom. On an early construction, the wall of the mosque are made of wood, while the roof is made of dried reeds. Time goes by. The villagers began to add a number of pillars and completed the floor, while the roof is replaced with palm leaf. Around 1985, local villagers agreed to create a new mosque because the old mosque was not able to accommodate the entire Padang Betua villagers, especially for Eid al-Fitri prayer. Al-Ikhlas Mosque was originally used as the center of spreading Islamic religion and community gathering place to repel the invaders. Then it was gradually used as a place of worship. Currently, the oldest mosque in Bengkulu is no longer used only for prayers of the villagers because of their small size, which was approximately 6 by 6 meters. Then people built it into a larger mosque. The old mosque is only used to learn the Holy Quran for children. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Al-Ikhlas Mosque in Bengkulu. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Jakarta International 10K. Stay tuned. On June 22nd, Jakarta celebrating its 489th anniversary. There are several interesting events held by Jakarta Provincial Government to commemorate its anniversary. Among others, Jakarta Great Sale Festival, Jakarta Fashion and Food Festival, Jakarta Fair, and Jakarta 10K. Jakarta 10K is a sport tourism activity that combines running and tour. Over 15,000 participants is expected to join this event. Jakarta International 10K was firstly started in 2004, initiated by Youth and Sport of Jakarta Provincials and Jakarta Provincials Government. This event is a media to prove to the world that Jakarta, in particular, and Indonesia in general, are in a conducive condition to hold the international event. Jakarta International 10K is the biggest running event in Indonesia, held in a 10-kilometer highway and participated in by 15,000 runners. Jakarta International 10K has become main agenda in Jakarta, so that the event becomes the most awaited international athletic event in the world. Jakarta International 10K will be held on June 24, 2016. The cycling event is divided into three categories, which is open, closed and student. The open category is provided for Indonesian citizens and foreigners for at least 17 years old,
closed category is only for Indonesian citizens for at least 17 years old, while students category is open for all junior high school and senior high school students. This year is a special event because there is an additional category, namely 1.6K, Champ Squad Run category, for parents and children or family. The whole participants will receive race bag consisted of timing chip and race jersey. The first 2,000 participants who reach the finish line will win finisher medal. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Jakarta International 10K. I'm Luka Kusumawati. We'll meet you again in the next edition of Miscellany. Thank you for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Farid Harja. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Carmilla by Farid Harja. Happy listening.
Dan ku cuci.
Farid Harja, who was born on September 7, 1950, began his musical career in 1966, when the country experienced a transition period from the old order to the new order. At that time, the British invasion fever hit the world. In Bandung, Farid had joined the Dizegger group, which tend to play rock and roll music genre, such as repertoire of the Rolling Stones. Not only in Bandung, he then had frizzy hairstyle like Afro look, started working with some rock bands based in Jakarta, such as The Cockpit, formed by Abul Hayat in 1974, The Brotherhood Band, and The Brown Bear in 1975. A year later, Farid Harja back to his hometown Sukabumi and formed the Bani Adam group, which dominantly played rock and roll music genre and R&B. The name of Bani Adam has the philosophy that we are all the people of Prophet Adam. In 1977, Jackson's record and tapes, the property of Jackson Arif, started to release Farid Harja's album along with Bani Adam Band, with the name Farid Bani Adam Band, which catapulted the song Carmilla. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Romantika di Amor by Farid Harja. Happy listening.
Lagu romantika, nyanyian tempo dulu, namun membawa kenangan.
The figure of Farid Harja was known well, with an appearance similar to Elton John, bald-headed and changing models of glasses. At the end of his life, the singer dressed up like a merchant of mainland Africa. Farid Harja passed away on Sunday, December 27, 1998, at Dr. Cipto Mangunkusumo Hospital due to diabetes and heart disease. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Ini Rindu and Bercinta di Udara by Farid Harja. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Sesat buta memandang, melihat api seperti air, dan melihat air laksana api. Meskipun banyaknya nasihat asmara, namun tiada satu pengobat rindu. Telinga pun tuli, mata jadi buta, begitu panasnya demam asmara. Mulut pun bibi-bibi-bibi-bibi-bisu, tidak pun ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-keluh. Kata-kata-kata-kata-kata karena cici-cici-cici-cici-cici-cinta. Mulut pun lidah pun ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-ke-lu. Kata-kata-kata-kata karena cici-cici-cici-cici-cici-cinta. Sesat buta memandang, melihat api seperti air, dan melihat air laksana api. Meskipun banyaknya nasihat asmara, namun tiada satu pengobat rindu. Telinga pun tuli, mata jadi buta, begitu panasnya demam cinta asmara.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Sepi, kau menemani. Di saat ku sedih, kau menghibur hati. Di saat ku pergi, kau setia menanti. di saat ku gerak.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.